You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Now, the end is near. I really want to sing that. We haven't actually, before we started recording, we're doing a bit of a shing-shong.
Regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the last episode of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby, Year 1, Season 1. We've reached the finish line. And once again, it is a very big thank you to our partners, certainly over the last few weeks, our good friends at City Index, who are the global provider of spread betting, CFD and Forex trading, and have carried us through this Lions tour, which is done and is dusted, and the Lord is alongside. We need a bit of therapy. We need a sort of, I actually want to lie down and sort of have my temples massaged, and we've got to work it through. We need closure.
You haven't worked this hard for 5 years. So no, I can see you've already
broken.
You're already checked out. You've got your Hawaiian shirt on, tickets to the airport apparently are in your bag. So
taxi's waiting.
Yeah.
Well, hear its horn. Yeah. Nice to see you. How was your holiday, first of all?
It was lovely, thank you. I'd like to say it was relaxing, but I actually feel that I need a holiday off the back of the holiday.
Bit of dialysis since you got back?
Yeah. I've managed to get in the gym every day, which has made me feel a little bit better.
Sweating rosé.
Yes. Yeah, I've recycled.
Well, that is it. The breaking news, if you haven't been on Planet Rugby over the last few weeks, the Lions Tour is done. And we do have to start by saying, and I will do this bit for you because you've taken a lot of fire in your Smart B group and on Twitter. Well done, South Africa. In the end, they had what they needed and they got home. I from a Lions perspective, it's going to hurt, and it's just a whole heap of ifs, buts and maybes. We keep sort of saying this kind of thing. It felt like the door to history was open and they've walked straight into the door frame. Did you watch it? Did you live it? Did you breathe it?
So I watched the second test when I was on holiday and I was just so flat. I sort of actually gave up last week. I didn't actually really pay any attention to what was going on, team selection or whatever, because they were so poor. And that's not taking anything away from South Africa. What South Africa are is an unbelievable beast. If you try and take them on in any way of their game, let them slow down the game, play set piece, play physical, one out runners, you're going to come off second best. And that was everything that they did in that second test. And then the team he picked, I wasn't sure about. They just didn't sort of stand up for me. But then I thought Bundiaki came in and actually played well. Liam Williams, I thought, was good at the back. That first high ball he took with Bobby's head, two-handed take. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they played. You know, yes, they were under the pump a bit in the first 10, but they went out and they actually tried to play rugby, and Liam Williams probably have nightmares. You know, we had Ronan O'Gara on the show and he talked about his nightmares of that penalty 12 years ago.
The only thing about that with Rog is that you ask him a number of very different questions and that's his default.
Yeah.
I wonder, funnily enough, actually, whether there's a sort of element of closure for him doing the Sky coverage over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, because he has had a chance to sort of talk about it publicly. And
Or Mornay Staines just come on and re-ripped it straight back open.
Can I give you the line? If you didn't hear this, we had a Lions breakfast on Sky on the Sunday morning, reflecting on the test. Bob Skinstack got a text from a mate which said, the more things change, the Mornay stay the same. The more things change, the Mornay stay the same. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. That's a pun writer's dream.
And I told you the little sing-song one. When the moon hits your eye and the lions start to cry, it's a Mornay. I've had so many, don't you worry. Yeah. Someone took the time on Twitter to send me all the clips that I'd said and all the GIFs in a thing. So I sort of printed them out on this A4 piece of paper. I might frame them.
Put them on a new canvas to motivate your social media. For
They did say thank you for taking the banter well. I'm laughing on the outside.
Slowly dying. On the outside. We should say it's a saucer of milk and a table for two this week, because we were going to go Hawaiian shirts and pina coladas all the way to the airport. But Hask, poor boy, is horizontal at home, and he sent us a rather sad note. Have a look and a listen at this.
Hello to everyone at Good Bad Rugby. First of all, I'm gutted not to be there for the season finale. You might wonder why I am lying with my face down in the pillow. I can't really sit up further than this. My back has gone, unfortunately, so badly that I cannot stand, I cannot walk, I cannot get comfortable. The only thing I can do is lie on my side. I'm currently waiting for a doctor to come to my house. So not the way I wanted to finish season one of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby, but what an incredible journey it has been. So many highlights, and there's plenty more coming in season two. Obviously, the Lions disappointed not to get the win. So close. Mornay staying the Angel of Doom, doing what he does best, ruining Lions' dreams. But credit to South Africa. It's a country who's been divided. There's lots of stuff going on, and like always for them, rugby can heal, and hopefully it's brought a smile to some people's faces. For the Lions boys, maybe it wasn't the tour you guys wanted, but for so many, it was an opportunity to put on that red shirt. Everybody tried their very hardest. There's been some great performances from so many people, and I'm really excited to get the rugby season back started. But first of all, I've got to work out how I'm going to stand up, go on holiday and actually function as a human being, because I have not been in pain like this ever. Thanks so much for everybody. Please make sure you come back for season two. It's going to be bigger and better than you can ever imagine.
Get well, one bruv. He's off to the, well, he's meant to be off to the airport, probably on a stretcher. You know the Alan Partridge scene when he's walked away to have a good time and they sort of tip him up on his stretcher. That'll be Hoff on holiday. So if you do see him out and about in the sunshine,
if he's just lying flat down, don't be scared to get the sunscreen out and just write anything
on
his back, a la Police Academy.
He'll just be sitting in a dinghy out back of the yacht. Yeah. You know, that sort of drift.
I mean, I've seen people do things to get upgraded on planes, but this is, you know, this is doing it on social media and announcing it to the world is...
He is absolutely right, though. I mean, we've already started planning for what is going to be an incredibly exciting year two. There is a lot that's going to be coming. There's a lot that we've got to do. There are lots of stories and people to talk to. And, you know, without forgetting what it is that we enjoy, which is basically just chatting rubbish, there are a few extra bells and whistles that we're very excited about in season two. But let's sort of debrief on the Lions tour. I just sort of want to get your perspective on it as the dust settles and to go through a bit of closure, really. Talking about walking into doorframes, does it feel like, as you reflect on it, it's just one enormous missed opportunity?
Yes, I think in terms of taking it down there in the first place, I think they missed a trick.
So missing a trick is one thing. Did they make the wrong decision in playing the tour in South Africa?
I would say if you go through the tour, you go yes. You know, with all the battles that the players have had to do with, in terms of with the coronavirus, not having fans, not being able to do anything in terms of really getting crowds to galvanise around it, which you would have had if you'd have done it here in the UK. So I do think they've missed a trick on that, which then I think has fed a little bit onto the pitch. You know, we've talked for a year about how hard it is to self-motivate in terms of, and the difference it makes. And I think the Lions series, you know, the fans are even more important. So it would be the other way around, but South African fans taking over pubs and having little hubs. And do you know what? I think people have just cared a little bit less about the Lions this time round, just because of the lack of interaction and the lack of ability. I think, in all fairness, I thought the Lions have been pretty good on terms of their socials and putting things out there and access and everything else, but it's not the same as being able to go watch it, live it, be in the car park, get involved, talk to your opposition supporter, have that bit of banter, get it, and that sort of drives more and more interest. And I think that's probably what's been missed. And as I said, even for myself, after that second test, I sort of disengaged a little bit. I was so excited before the first test, so excited before the second test, and then I sort of walked into last test and I didn't expect the Lions to win. I sort of lost my belief, which I'm a little bit ashamed about, but I had. But then they came out and played, and the barn door was open for them, and as you said, they managed to run into the post of it.
I love the expression, forgive yourself for not having the foresight to know what now seems so obvious in hindsight. I mean, hindsight is, it's not helpful, I know.
I think actually, if you go back and look at all our stuff, we've been pretty close to the mark.
Well, you know, Ellis is now England captain, and I think people...
I said Finn Russell had to start.
Clocks are right twice at 18. So if we chuck enough rubbish out there, this will stick in the right place. What I think now, reflecting on the tour, is that obviously you can only make the decisions in real time. But when it became apparent that the tour was going to be different, which was January this year, you've then got to look at where you think the most likely outcome of a successful occasion, an event and tour is going to happen. And because the vaccine rollout up here was already planned and underway and picking up speed, etc., it just seems, with hindsight, which is not helpful, that the best chance of making a tour of what a Lions tour should be was in the UK. Now, of course, I mean, it's interesting, actually, and I think little bits will fall out over the next few weeks and months. As they always do, whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And I think people will have a lot to say about the decision to go to South Africa, and I think what will fall out of it is two things. One is that the UK government didn't say we'll back it, and therefore there was always a sort of financial concern. And two is that the worry was that the traditionalists would throw their arms up in the air and would make it very, very difficult for a tour in the UK.
And the problem is, it's for one crazy year.
Yeah.
It's only one year.
Yeah.
You'll be back to a traditional tour the next year. But you have to make the best. Well, even if you say financial situation, you talk about, say, you have three tests, maybe even two A games or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you offer a club a fair bit of money, if you just said the champions, whether you said, right, you take
you could,
two
you could have built that. You could have built that tour in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you so could have done it. And because, if you said Quinns, who won it, and Exeter, you get to play one game, we'll split that, we'll give you enough cash for it. They'd all bite their hands off to play the Saffords.
So, and that's where it becomes really interesting here. I mean, Saria McGeachan said in the post-match, and interestingly, there is no one who has put as much into the Lions. He's been a Lion for 47 years, and he said it was a big error not to play in the UK. He said, just from the test matches and A game alone, you'd have sold 300,000 tickets, 75 quid a ticket, 22.5 million quid in the coffers. That in itself is... Yeah. There's no guarantee that you would have got those 300,000 tickets sold, but even if you'd sold 100,000 of them...
I'm pretty sure you would.
Yeah.
Depending on where the government was. But
when you are therefore turning left or right, do you push for the UK? And I'm loving quotes. I'm loving quotes and lyrics at the moment. It wasn't Darwin that said it, but everyone thinks it was. It's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It's the one that's most adaptable to change. Mm. It's chaos. It's pandemonium. We are making life up as we go at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it is, in retrospect, a massive, massive error that they didn't look at the likely outcomes of where this, of what this tour was going to be in the two scenarios, and say there is a greater likelihood of making something viable in the UK than in South Africa.
Is that not rugby's biggest problem? You know, when we sat down at the start of this pandemic and said, right, we've got a
proper, you've got 100% right.
You got a proper chance to actually change the game and make it better in terms of whether you do a global season, rearrange everything, make it everyone play off the same page in terms of timing so that no one's tired on a tour, no one's this and that. And, you know, we're traditionalists. Rugby is a traditional game and it's stuck in its ways. And whether that's... Sometimes it's for the good, and sometimes it's for the bad.
It's really interesting what you said about being weary. This is the sixth tour I've worked on. It's amazing how, if you're a massive sports fan, big sports events really document and benchmark your life. And I definitely found myself yesterday, you know, we had essentially the end of rugby at Sky, certainly for the foreseeable future. There was, you know, a bit of champagne and some people who I've worked very hard with for a lot of time. And you do invest a huge amount in it as a broadcaster. But I found myself at times on this tour, and I think everybody's perspective has changed. I say this because I think I do love the Lions. It's the thing that gets me out of bed the most in sport. You know, and I really wanted my boy to be really into it. And, you know, it just feels to me like this, you know, the players have been impeccable, you know, particularly the Lions, in how they've handled some unbelievably difficult situations. The thing that really I find most frustrating is all of the columns today are Gatland saying, we've got to get everybody aligned here. Prem Rugby have got to get on side so that we get more preparation time. That has been being said since I went on work experience in 2001.
Yeah.
We're 25 years into professionalism and the same errors and the same mistakes and the same... Where is the control, alt, delete, reboot, build a game that works for everybody?
Well, the problem is there's too many people with their hands in the, not in the coffers, but in terms of the controlling what's right for me rather than what's the best. You know, I think Lions for players, you talked to me earlier about this could be the Lions in the most under threat because it has been the most disengaging in terms of with fans.
Yeah.
And Dawes summed it up a little bit on the show this morning in terms of there hasn't been that game, that moment. There hasn't been a John Bentley try. There hasn't been a Jerry Guscott drop goal. There hasn't been a Brian O'Driscoll try. There hasn't, you know, there haven't been Jamie Roberts in the whenever
2013.
You know, those sort of moments. They haven't really had it on this, but they didn't play as many games. They didn't really lean itself to it. So you sort of needed the test matches to stand up to it. And did they...
Would you ever go looking for the highlights of that again?
I think definitely not.
Colby's try aside. Test, and Mapimpi.
Test two. Test 2 should be put with South Africa versus Wales in the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
Game at half time, actually. A World Cup semi-final. And that's...
If you buried those two games in a capsule and someone found them in 100 years' time, they'd be like, that's the shittiest game on the planet. Yeah. I enjoyed yesterday.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the game yesterday. And
It still stands up. It stands up. The Lions will always stand up, but it's not what it should be. The question I asked Matt Dawson on this Lions Breakfast on Sky was, does the Lions come out of the 2021 tour in a better or worse scenario as a brand and a team and an entity than it went into it? And he said, oh, I think it's great. And I was quite surprised by that. You know, the 2005 was really damaging. That was a real threat to the Lions. They got absolutely blown off the park. It wasn't a harmonious tour internally. They didn't get on very well with New Zealand externally. And obviously, you know, what happened in 2009 turned that around. But I think, and I keep saying it, it's just if, buts, and maybes.
The thing is, I think, as I said, I think if you made a couple of different decisions, it could have come out on a really positive note. Because I think the way they turned up in that last test, a few different decisions, they could have gone into that half-time 12, 15 points up.
Should have been.
And then South Africa can't chase a game. Or then historically, you would say that they can't chase a game and you're in a different, completely different position. But then with Finn Russell at 10, you never know what happens. So he could go on and win by 40. I don't think they've come out in as bad a position as you sort of feel, because you've probably lived it a lot more than I have. I'm still sat reading things on the outside. I'm not quite in where you are.
I just think the Lions should be a beacon in the game. It should be World Cups and Lions, and everything stops for it. And even on some of the Sunday papers, you know, it's Olympics front page story.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lions has never gone up against the Olympics before. It's obviously, you know, the sporting calendar is out of kilter. But the Lions should be front page news. It's, you know, it's the four corners of the home unions. And it just feels like it's sort of been being played in a bit of an echo chamber. Interestingly, actually, Elmer Smith said that even in South Africa, the triumph doesn't carry the weight of what it could have
been. Well, 29 was.
Yeah.
Some of the players were saying it's more important than 2019 World Cup, weren't they? The South Africa players. But she's saying that it doesn't really carry that magnitude with it throughout the people.
Yeah. And I mean, the landscape out there is desperate in various parts, and nor should the Lions therefore sort of stop the country. But I think my point fundamentally, it should be the biggest show in town when it goes to, not in Australia necessarily because it's fifth down the pecking order, but the Lions should be really warmly received. And, you know, if you are a touring team, then you have to be able to tour. And I just think financially, I think they come out with real stresses and strains on it. Okay, let's not race to the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
I do want to throw it forward, and I want to find some positive. I suppose, I'm not sure it's a positive or a negative, but just in terms of circumstance, there's a lot of money beginning to come into the game now with Silver Lake down in the Southern Hemisphere and CVC obviously up here. Would you be in favour of investment into... One of the things that Stephen Jones was saying in his Sunday Times article is that the Lions needs to become really seriously sort of commercially heavyweight now. And it's sort of run a bit here and a bit there, and it's... Obviously, they're an entity, but they don't have a voice at the top table of world rugby. You know, they potentially could get someone from Prem Rugby onto the board so that there's much more unity around it. You know,
But I know what you're saying. I say, yes, I agree, because then you're planning long haul and it's easy. You know, England is the difficulty. We've always talked about that because the clubs own the keys to the players. Now, we've also talked about if CVC came and bought all the players, then what would happen if suddenly the players would work for someone else and they wouldn't hold the keys?
You're speculating.
Yes, it would be...
Mr. Bond.
It would be interesting, to say the least. But then would it go through a massive collapse of our game before you rebuild it again? But if you knock it all down, then you have to rebuild it. Then.
Yeah. Okay, throw it forwards then.
I can't believe we've got Lions chats and knocking down
the foundations
of rugby.
But you've had it for a while because you'd built that brilliant what should an ideal season look like, and it just feels like this is a missed opportunity. Not just Lions, but just the game is getting more convoluted and tied up in itself, and you know, Super Rugby's now broken up and we've now got South Africa joining the Pro 14 to become something new, and we've got 13 teams in the Premiership suddenly, and There's no slipstream in the game.
The hardest thing I think is connection. So connection with the fans lower down, not the, you know, the local clubs. I think one thing they are, if you do quite well, and probably people at local clubs will tell me, is the connection is still quite good in terms of being able to get tickets. And whereas in Australia, New Zealand, well, I think New Zealand's okay, but South Africa, especially in Australia, there is no connection between a schoolboy and Super Rugby. And I think that's the massive thing that's lost. You've got to engage the next generation.
Yeah,
I know that Six Nations Rugby at the moment, their whole mission is to engage younger audience, because the average rugby player in this country is probably a public schoolboy whose dad played, who loves it, who might work at, you know, a high-end job, and he just loves the day out and everything else, whereas we need to find the Ellis Gengers of the world who are just great athletes who might not ever see a rugby ball unless you go and find them and put it in their hand. And I think that's one thing that has got to change most about rugby, is we've got to go hunting these players rather than expect that these players will come to our sport.
In 1989, I remember getting up and C-faxing to see what the Lions had done. I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Mike Teague and Iron Evans scoring. And my son's father, me, has presented the Lions tour in 2021, and I don't think he could tell you anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where I think there's been a massive missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I'm talking from a talking from a sample pool of one. So this isn't extensive research here, but I think that if it had been Lions in the UK and it had been big stadiums, you know, it would have knocked empty stadiums in the Olympics.
Well,
and
I think,
the world off the front
I
page.
Think also the other side to that question is how has it changed a young person's perspective in South Africa? Because that's the
that
whole
is
point.
Very,
of
that is very, very, that is a very good point.
Because that is ultimately what it's it, what touring is supposed to do, is it's to inspire the youth of that nation. Now, as Elmer said to you, because of everything that's going on in that country right now, it's probably not made that much of an impact, which is a shame.
I think Kalisi will still be making a huge impact. And actually, funny, just on him in particular, I mean, again, we're sort of repeating ourselves, but what a statesman on and off the pitch. And do you think he is a better player now than he was in 2019? I thought he was immense in this series.
To come off off an injury and to perform at that level and just have that sort of control and not get drawn into things, because there's been so much, I think that hasn't helped the Lions, is how much off-field crap's been talked. Yeah. You know, whether you agree with it or not, no coach should be putting out a 62-minute video going through all the ref's decision. When I immediately,
that's going to be a special DVD when the Lions release their tour. Their
I mean,
tour
I could have put together a 62, literally going against everything that he'd said. If you pick it apart, I mean, that's the beauty and frustration of rugby, is perception, and everyone thinks it's going their way, but you can always show a case where it's going the other way.
Yeah.
There was too much of that off the field, which I think really detracted from the on-field stuff and really. And built a bit of angst and not good banter.
Yeah.
A little bit of, you know, judging through the groups that I sit on, a little bit of genuine anger between fans that you don't normally get in rugby.
Yeah. I really don't want this to be a moaning and a groaning session, but I'm sure that there are many of you who listen and watch this who'll probably have had similar conversations over the last few days or so. Let's throw it forwards a little bit. A tour to Australia in 2025 should look like what? Because that, I suppose, is one of the other things that's fallen out of this, is that really you can only properly now tour New Zealand because of the franchises there stack up and will give you a proper game. Whereas the Lions learned nothing about themselves in the early fixtures. And in Australia, it's even easier.
Yeah.
Harder to find a competitive thing.
Harder to find a
we'll get there
game.
Eventually. Yeah. So the two options are, do you say to Australia, we're only coming if you make sure that your top level players are playing in the warm-up fixtures prior to 8 days before the first test? Or do you say, we're a touring team, we're going to tour, we're going to have a couple of games in Japan,
we're going to properly go
Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, we'll then play the New Zealand Mara in Auckland, and we will arrive for three tests in Australia?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, and I quite like the idea of taking a Lions tour. Yeah, we've always talked about on this show about the problem is with sort of the Pacific Islanders is no one will go there.
Yeah.
Take the Lions there.
I mean, just imagine what that would be like. Commercially, not going to do a lot.
For the good of the game. And even if the Lions could sort of make a gesture that from that game, X amount of money goes back into each of their pots, and then you play Japan, then you could even get a Maori's team. You don't have to play New Zealand, but you could get like an Invitational 15 or even an invitational, a Southern Hemisphere Invitational 15 or something along that, and then bang, three tests. Because, you know, that game on the weekend, Australia, even though I don't recognise quite a lot of names in that Australia team, obviously they're looking to get back on, and they played quite well on the weekend and looking to get back on track.
Will it ever happen? Or are we going to have another 2025, play the Reds, play the Force, 70-70-70?
Yeah, well,
point wins.
It depends who thinks outside the box at the top of the Lions.
Let's campaign for Hask. Taking
and
direction.
Then we'll be banned from every country.
That's very true. The Lions will play themselves. What we should say is well done, South Africa.
Yeah.
They had what they needed when they needed it. And it's just, this is a little bit of therapy. This is what all Lions fans do in the aftermath.
Yeah, I mean.
And I don't think it's sour grapes. I'm not just doing this because they lost. I think a lot of the questions would have remained if the Lions had come out 1916 winners. Was it the right thing to do? Was it a
tournament? Yeah, of course. That goes beyond the game. This is the problem with, I think, what this tour has become is we're not really talking about the games.
Yeah.
And the games were lost and won on a flip of a call. There were calls in the first test. There were calls in the second test, even though South Africa dominated that second test. And then in the third test, you could say Lions played their best game. And
have you got any complaints about refs, TMOs?
No, because everything evens itself out, basically. And if you look at it from left or right about who's stealing ball and everything else, those go against you. I don't think you'll find any of the players complaining about it. It happens. You just got to move on, dust yourself off, and you go again. And the Lions did that. And the biggest regret for a fan or for a Lion will be they just didn't take those opportunities that were in front of them on Saturday. And if they had, it could have been a different story. But coulda, woulda, shoulda doesn't really cut it in international rugby.
Regrets, I've got a few. But then again, to mention, actually,
if you can name all the songs that we cover in today's show, there's a game. How many songs do we name?
Hit me, baby, one more time. okay, let's sort of pull back from all things Lions. It's the end of term.
Is the end of term.
What have we learned?
Great year.
What have we learned? What have we enjoyed?
First time I might have a good report card.
Do you think? What are you hoping for? B minus.
I think B plus.
B plus, all right. What have we learnt in the 2020-2021 season? How do we reflect on rugby in some unbelievably challenging circumstances, you know, full stop, across the world? But how's rugby fared?
Players are very adaptable. Maybe the game's not. Mm. But I think how the players have managed to handle it and get on with it and some of the rugby that's been produced, obviously at the start of the season, it didn't reflect that. I think it took them a little while, but then, as you said in your quote from Darwin,
it wasn't Darwin. I always think it is Darwin.
It's not Darwin.
Readers can supply the answers.
They adapted very well. And then, you know, towards the end of the season, we were getting some unbelievable games of rugby. Mm. Now, for me as a fan watching, all I care about is speed of ball, because it's the only way of negotiating and destroying the defences that you can get. You saw it on the weekend with the Lions. When they got that quick ball, that allowed them to get offloads. Obviously, Atoji went through. Alan Wynn was offloading. You know, suddenly there was a build in momentum and you could feel that. And that's what I hope to see more of next year is learning to deal with that and learning to pick up that tempo of the game. But obviously we're bringing in the 50-20 rule, which I'm not...
You're not looking forward to that?
No.
Why not?
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Right, okay.
50-20. So if I kick it from in my own half and it rolls out in the 22, I get a line out.
Yeah.
I throw into the line out. Driving ball, get held up, I lose the ball, and it's a restart underneath the opposition.
Yeah, but yes. So, possession back,
or I could go off the top, do a great move, and still get held up and lose the ball. So you sort of can end up to yes, I get possession.
But you get the ball back.
I get possession down there, but how many times does the ball get held up a year?
Well, the Lions have held up in the last two tests.
So
Mako and Robbie Henshaw.
And then, do you feel they should be punished for doing that?
Well, if you're a Lions, you'd probably rather receive a 22 dropout from South Africa's goal line than you would take a 5 minute scrum. Do you not like any bit of it? Or would you rather just tweak it?
No, because they're saying that it's going to make the wingers drop more.
Yeah. So you then end up with 12 in the front line.
It's not going to make them. You're just going to have two sit back and they'll leave the middle of the field.
Two's one more than one.
But the way that the pendulums
work. That's why people come to this show.
The way that pendulums work anyway. You know,
but it's got to be a start.
Lions had space all the time. If you still play a massively pressed D, you can still shut it off. It needs an accuracy of a pass, or you need Finn Russell, who plays so close to the line and realizes it's not on, so he just chips it over the top. But I don't see it working how they think it's going to work.
Can I just say, given that we're into the Norsing laws, Cobus Reinach was actually at scrum time putting the ball into the feet of Jasper Visser. That's the thing I find really frustrating at the moment, is that there are so many nuances in the laws of rugby union. There are so many details and inches and centimetres that are refereed. And then there's a law where you put the ball straight into the scrum, or the law is meant to be that you put the ball down the middle, and it's going into Jasper Visser's feet.
But then I thought at least you had to stand square. He's literally standing at an angle and throwing it in, and it's just, and when Nigel Owens in comms going, we really need to look at that, and it's just like, Well, you don't need to look at it. Even if you don't free kick him first time, go, stop taking the piss.
So I would, if we're going a wonky in rugby, I would then say, if you know, in a line out, if you don't put a jumper up, then it doesn't matter whether the ball's straight or not.
So you're telling me, like, when the South African went for the short ones to the front.
That, yeah, I'd say play on then.
Yeah.
If you're chucking the ball in and 45 degrees to where it should be going, then I would just say, if you don't compete in the line out throw doesn't need to be straight.
Yeah. Good. Anyway, I'm glad we've picked up the tempo and the energy.
Yeah, now we're into the Norsing laws. We're all good. Should we chuck out a couple of bouquets, a few tears and shorter acceptance speeches than the Oscars? Let's reflect on the season that has been. Should we do best game?
The one that jumps straight into the mind is semi-final Bristol Quins.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the game of the Premiership era, I think. You know, to be that far ahead and then the mighty Quins on the stampeding comeback.
The fact that Marla arrived in a helicopter in a onesie it's just part of the most extraordinary story.
I think it just summed up Quins' season. And, you know, we talked about whether they'd be tired off the back of it, emotionally drained, obviously going extra time, everything else. But I think if you're a player in that group, it's just fired you up even more to go, yeah, we can do this next week as well.
So I thought the final itself was extraordinary. I mean, because that is lightning striking twice, I thought the Premiership final. And I don't think anybody expected them to be able to find that again.
No.
And that actually, you know, just that story, you know, we've been a bit heavy-handed, and apologies for that on All Things Lions, but actually that Quinn story will put smiles on faces for days.
Yeah, I got to play golf with Danny Kerr.
Oh, did you? Is he still walking on air?
Yeah, loving life. Can't wait to get back in. I think he's just done another contract, hasn't he, with Quinn? So.
Yeah, good on him. Try of the year? Which tries, five-pointers, stand out for you?
So Marcus Smith in that Wasp game, there was a time when him and Umanga were sort of, they were talked in the same vein, who's going to be next? And he did that little chip over, casual knock with his right hand, and then saw Umanga in front of him. There was probably an easier ball inside, and he was like, nah, just round him. Little goose step, the lovely goose step.
He loves the goosey.
Then he's gone. But, you know, after yesterday, I'd say most Colby tries. Pretty good.
And drop goals as well.
Yeah, and drop goals in the top 14,
I actually went Lewis Rees-Sammet in that Wales-Scotland game. Not because it's the greatest try I've ever seen, but because it was a moment where you sat up and thought, this kid's got something very special and a massive future.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny May won in France and then the Italy dive and good tries in there. I mean, there have been some good tries throughout the year. I mean, let's not even start talking about Charles Piatow and Bristol tries. They go coast to coast
Some of the Crusaders tries in Super Rugby.
Yeah.
There have been some worldies, but I went Lewis Leiner in the Prem.
Nice.
With the go faster sides, Lewis Rees-Sammet and Colby on Saturday. One chance, one bullet, one kill.
Just talking about technically, for all those kids out there, we're going to talk rugby noughts again. Why people still keep showing him the inside and think they should be worried about the outside?
Wasn't it extraordinary how similar that try was when he scored in the World Cup final?
Unbelievable. Force him out. Is he that? I know he's quick, but for someone like Liam Williams,
I think it's the spring of the step.
You need to get forward on him a bit more. But in the cup final, where he stepped back inside again, there's been a couple where he always steps back inside and he always gets the turnstile gate spinning like that.
Best player. I think we've just been talking about him.
It's a toss-up between the two smallest people who play rugby, Dupont and Colby himself. We both said Dupont to start off with, but then if you start thinking back to, obviously, Colby, Champions Cup final, 50-metre drop goal in the top 14 final, you can't not get out. I still can't get 2019 out of my head, that try.
The Saffers have got to you.
Yeah.
Well, it's just literally, they're just wandering around.
I see the gif every day, so I literally still think it was yesterday, and then obviously the try yesterday. I think it's a toss-up between Anton Dupont and Colby, I think.
We're talking only backs at the moment. Who up front is?
Well, I think Peter Steptoe-Twyre, he was missed massively yesterday.
Yeah.
He's World Player of the Year last year, and I think someone like him, I think Curry's been strong again. He's been getting a little bit, people have been saying he's a bit reckless, and I was like, I'm not entirely sure that's fair.
Sorry, the job spec is
Watson has been obviously outstanding for Scotland. There's been a few Scottish players. Sutherland was obviously good for it. Ferguson has been good for them. You know, Itoje's been a man mountain in this. He found his mojo a bit in that tour. Courtney.
Courts.
Man of the tour for
Lions
me.
Man of the tour.
Lions man of the tour.
Yeah, brutal at end of the game though.
Yeah.
Couple of throw forwards. Next season, I want to see ...
I do want to see something happen to the Jackler. I would like to see people have to step over the tackle player before
bring that
come
back.
before they can play the ball.
That takes back to 1988 and the playing fields of school.
And, just because, and I and I've been promising to do a video on this. But
62
it will be
minutes?
Coming.
Can you give us that long?
Yeah, I could probably give you that long. What I don't like to see now is red cards we don't want to see on the field. At the moment, you can kick your feet back and you can't get cleaned out. And then if you come from the side, you'll probably get penalised. And the only thing you can do is pile into the back of someone's shoulders, neck.
Yeah.
It'll also stop that separation of, did he ever release? Because you'll have to put your leg over. And if you can get into that position and no one can clear you out, then it's a fair turnover. But whether we'll see that. I would like to see Gloucester back competing next season. Obviously, Adam Hastings coming in. Please, Adam, take the bull by the horns and go well. And then I'd like to see Marcus Smith sort of pulling the reins at England.
Yeah. I said next season I want to see less of the TMO.
That would be good too.
And I'd love to see a new England emerge. Is this negative? Next season I don't want to see... Hask.
And here he comes, he's made it. He heard it.
If only. Yeah, he'd be giving a shot.
Aimless kicking.
Get one, bruv.
Aimless kicking the ball away. I think that's
brilliant.
So
say all of us.
Box kicking the hell out of things. And then when you've got attacking ball with 30 metres in front, you'll try and pin a corner. Right. Rather than give your speedsters a little go.
I've got one for you. Next season, I don't want to see any more empty stadiums.
Yeah,
I'm really done with echoes and empty stadiums.
No, I agree.
We're feeling positive about the next 12 months. Is the game rolling in the right direction?
If we start off with Premiership, I think possibility of 7 teams who could have a good go at it.
Yeah, that is very true.
I think that will be good from our perspective. Obviously, into the Nations Cup down south. I have to say that I don't probably pay as much attention to what goes on in Super Rugby anymore. So I'd like to find
the competition's fragmented.
Yeah, I'd like to try and find a way of them to drag me back in, because if they can't drag me in, how are they going to drag an overseas fan in?
And you're a rugby pig. If they can't get you, they can't
get you. Oink, my good man. But otherwise, I'd like, as I say, for my side of it, I'd like England to come back with a zest for life in terms of playing at speed. I want Eddie to go back a few years and go, we're going to play at a tempo that no one can live with, rather than trying to out-muscle people. But I think we're not in a bad spot. If we look at the Six Nations, I think it was the strongest Six Nations we've ever had, which is great. It's great to see France back and living on top, and they're going to be dangerous for years to come. So it's great to have those back.
Scotland coming on. They will be better for this tour as well, won't they?
Yeah, and I think the Six Nations is looking healthy for the next few years. Yeah, I didn't see the Fiji-New Zealand game, but apparently they took it to them for a fair while. Yeah. Hopefully, between it all, everyone's getting better.
We're all getting better.
We're all getting better.
We are, and if you've only just joined us, I think we've done 44 shows, but just as a brief reminder, we're the Good, the Bad, and the Rugby in partnership with City Index, and we do thank them for their support over the course of the Lions Tour. Before we go, just a couple of sort of bouquets and thanks. It's been a remarkable year for us and a remarkable guest list that we've had over the course of our first season. Shall I whip through it? Because I actually went back and pulled them all out. Jerry Flannery, Bob Skinstadt, Simon Shaw, Brian O'Driscoll, Jeremy Guscott, Sam Warburton, Joe Marler, Alex Sanderson, Sam Simmons, Courtney Laws, Brian Habana, Bobby Boucher, Ronan O'Gara, Sir Kevin Sinfield, I should say, Wayne Pivac, Jordan Murphy, Dan Carter, Jack Willis, Cheslin Colby, Kieran Reid, Mako Vunipola, David Pocock, Dan Leo, Jason Robinson, Jack Knoll, Alex Corbusiero, Johnny Sexton, Stuart Hogg, Mar Nonu, Dylan Hartley, Jason Leonard, Billy Vunipola, and we kick things off with the great Eddie Jones. That would be a hell of a touring squad.
Would be good.
Wouldn't
obviously
it?
Me and Hask could have to be there.
Well, you'd be a social secretary.
Yeah.
I'm so excited by our guest list as we reflect on it. I counted up all the international caps.
You're such a nose.
2,134 games of international rugby union along that line.
Yeah, bit of boom.
Thank you to everybody who has come on our shambles of a show over the course of the last, we've done a year?
Well, I was thinking Leonard was August. two weeks time.
So it's been a year. God, I've aged. don't go back to the first ones. I look about 5 years younger. Over 2,000 caps. Should we throw a few bouquets to our guests? The guest that surprised you the most was?
I would say Wayne Pivac.
Pivac and Hansen has to be a cop show.
I was going to say it would also be one of my favourite moments was the sort of giggling that we had around creating a TV show around Pivac and Hansen around the Starsky and Hutch mould. And the T-shirt that will never be.
The T-shirt that was amazing, but will never see the light of day. That was remarkable. I think Jason Robinson was mega. Yeah. Not in terms of surprising, because he's an absolute superstar, but just the story and where he took us. And I suppose also the fallout from his story was amazing. The power of the show. Most entertaining?
I can't go past the Leonard Goat story.
Tune out if you're a member of the RSPCA. This moment. Come back in a minute.
It was just brilliant.
Yeah,
I think the separation between an old school Lions tour and there in itself single-handedly was the separation.
Yeah.
And God rest the soul of that poor sheep.
Yeah, amen. I will forever... It's something about props, really. It's not even what he says, but just Joe Marler taking us inside his caravan and the 45 minutes of lighting.
Joe in his caravan trying to sort out his lighting.
His lighting was, I mean, yeah, he kept the entire world waiting, but amazing. What other ones we got?
I put inspirational stuff down, things. Sinfield. Sir Kev was just incredible.
What he's done for Rob Burrows.
What he's done for Rob Burrows. Alex Sanderson took me in the mind of a new age coach, all my knowledge of Alex would never have been where he is now. Yeah. He was just a hard nosed northerner who liked to dog it out and tough it out in a good old fashioned way.
I use hot wash, cold wash on almost every show now, the way he does the intense debrief in the minutes after you've finished the game, and then you come back the following day and it's like, deep breath. Let's have a look at this in a bit more detail. Oh,
Corbs for energy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we had more messages about Corbs and the energy he came with everything he went through, obviously, with his cancer and how positive he was. And
Pocock was good as well.
Yeah, Pocock was same thing. Been arrested for being on a rock because he refused to move. Yeah,
I was just looking at this. Nonu was sensational as well.
Yeah.
I didn't expect as much from him as we got.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Do you? That's been the beauty of it, you know, even with Hoggy. I never have thought we'd have gone down the roads that we went down with Hoggy. Yeah. But his great honesty and sort of gave us an insight to why he plays, you know, the memory of his mate. And yeah, we've had some high roller coaster, emotional roller coasters, highs and lows.
Have we got anyone else? Anyone else you pulled out? Bobby Boucher was the other guy I was going to just mention. It's a sheer sort of, for a guy who's not 6'6" and 25 stone, he ploughs a hell of a furrow in the...
Yeah, just imagine the rope would have been unhappy. But he'd have picked the boys up, though. He'd have picked them up.
I'm really looking forward to Holiday. And then I'm really looking forward to Series 2. Some of these plans we've got bubbling. Just before we say thank you to our team, I just actually want to say thank you to all the listeners and viewers as well. Do you want a couple of numbers?
I love a number.
From a flat, cold start in the garage, we've got nearly 2 million followers on social media now. I'm not contributing many to that. I think my stock is going very quickly.
Get behind Alex.
Our average listening time for a pod is an hour and 20 minutes.
That's incredible.
I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you find the time to listen to the waffle.
Is it everyone falling asleep on the train on the way home?
Each week we get an average of 500,000, half a million views and listens to the show and our other content that goes out on the social channels. And the reason I say this is that I just want to, we want to say a massive, massive thank you for all of the support. I think we'd probably end up talking to ourselves anyway on a Zoom call, but the fact that we do it and record it and stick it out there and people seem to enjoy it is just hugely flattering and hugely rewarding, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes it worth doing, doesn't
and
it?
And it's nice when, if you ever do listen to the show and we are walking by, please say that, stop and say hello.
Yeah, lots of people do, actually.
Because people do that, and it's really nice.
We were doing What Do You Not Want to See Next Year? I would love people to stop calling me Pano. It's sort of fairly clear in the titles, and I did the volunteers dinner for the RFU on Friday, and it just was a stream of, oh, Pano! Yeah, no, sweet smile, lovely.
Yeah, so Chloe sent me a voice note when she was like, really shouldn't get in the car and drive, and she went, I've messaged Pano. And then she stopped.
Really? Not a thing.
She stopped and went, I love that we call him Pano now. And I was like, yep.
Maybe, yeah. Well, there will be revenge to everybody that does that in years to come. But I do just to say thank you. It's really, really good fun doing it. We love reading the comments. We love reading most of the comments. And it means a lot that you all enjoy it. And hopefully there's something in it for everybody. We try and offer a fairly broad church. So thank you to everybody who has engaged. You know, as we said, there's a lot more to come and it's going to be, you know, just getting out and about. We've got some quite exciting live shows coming up in the hopefully return to normality. Time for a holiday. Time for a holiday.
You look like you're beaten down, son.
Do I?
You need to get out there.
I need to reinflate my tyres. Before we go, just to say thank you once again to everyone who's tuned in, who's left us comments, who's enjoyed what we've done, etc. We have been, and we will be again, the good, the bad and the rugby, in partnership with City Index. I do just want to say a massive thanks to all of our team behind the team as well. Matt's times three, Shira, JP, Teeps, Rob, Josh, Sihal, Dami, Harry, Dan and Lucy, who have offered unbelievable support in some incredibly trying circumstances. It is not easy keeping this show on the road. I can tell you, one of us in particular, absent friends, they're brilliant and they've done a really, really good job in getting us up and running. So thank you to the crew. Any final thoughts?
No, I'm not quite as beaten down as you are. I've got a few things in the summer. We got a little rugby union versus rugby league games back in September. Actually, we'll be back on I think it's the week after we're back.
When's that?
Gloucester. So come down, 12th of September.
We've also got the Jack Adams Memorial.
Oh, we have got the game. That's the week before.
The week before. So is that the 5th of September?
Yeah.
Check out that on socials, actually, because that is going to be really good fun. And as a Bristol-Gloucester veterans game, We're going to play Mike you up.
I so hope we can sort of do it. There'll be a lot of huffing and puffing.
You think you've heard heavy breathing and show's gone past? You ain't heard anything yet.
There'll be a lot of panting, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. It means a lot to us. Next year, we are going to be bigger and better. Some very fun plans in the pipeline, as we said. Lots more amazing guests to have on, lots more amazing stories to tell, and hopefully a lot more fabulous events to create and come to. Thank you to Ben and to Ellis and to Hask, of course, as well. Get well soon, mon brave. Thank you to Elmer and Skaz for being part of our good, bad and rugby family as well. Have yourselves a very happy summer holiday. It says enjoy pre-season if you're part of one. I'm not sure that's a thing. Yeah. But if you are back in training and everybody needs to get their boots on or their paintbrushes out or get back to your club in some capacity, September the 4th for that. Enjoy a break. Keep an eye on our social media over the next few weeks. We've got some fun surprises before we are back. So do engage with that if you'd like to. We're back in September.
Au revoir.
A bientôt. For the last time this season, we'll see you in a few weeks. Here's Rob Brydon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. It can't have been easy.